The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicker. We kick things off in the Premier League. Liverpool thrashing Southampton by 4-0. Jota with a brace. Thiago, a nice finish from Van Dijk as well, giving Liverpool a comfortable victory. Don Hutchinson with us. Don, easy peasy for Liverpool.
It was, Dan. It was quite hard to get a handle on the game because in the early parts of the game, Liverpool were a little bit sloppy. Then they were brilliant, then they were sloppy, then they were brilliant, then they were sloppy, then they were brilliant, and they were 3-0 up. And then kicking towards the top end in the second half, you know they're going to score more goals. And I listened to Ralf Hasenhüttl before the game, and he's a very intelligent manager, and he beat Liverpool last season. And he said before the game, he said, we're going to come here, we're going to have a go, we're going to take it to Liverpool. He was very naive because, honestly, it could have been another 9. It was an incredible performance by Liverpool, but Southampton helped them massively. And I was sort of saying in commentary that I'm pretty sure the manager will take all the blame for it because he left his team with nowhere to go. And he'd done exactly that after the game. He said, it was my fault. I was too attacking. I don't know what I was thinking of. And Liverpool just had the perfect game plan and the perfect win and the perfect clean sheet to then lead them into the Merseyside derby midweek.
Are Liverpool still third favourites in your eyes, Stevie?
Yes. Yep. And that is only because of what's happening in the defensive side of Liverpool's starting 11. Listen, going forward, Don's right. They could have scored 9 today.
Right.
They could have lost 3 or 4, though, easily. Alisson had 3 saves in the first half that were important saves and big saves. So if you're Klopp, this is the perfect time to try and reset that back line and try and figure out why teams, whether it's away from home or at Anfield, are getting so many chances. Because Liverpool had given far too many chances away. They're getting away with it because, listen, they're scoring 3 and 4 goals every game. Now, if you can keep doing that, then you might get away with it. But this now's the time for Klopp to figure that out. When you're winning and you're not defending well, now is the time to get on the training field, not get carried away with a 4-0. Don's right, it's a clean sheet on paper. It's a clean sheet. But it was far from good defending.
Wow. Has Steve been overly negative, Shaq?
Shaq, can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
We were talking about Pochettino the other day with PSG, and I kept saying, a good manager doesn't give you an inch.
Right.
That's exactly what I was talking. Today is a perfect example of that.
Okay.
What Klopp needs to do is walk in, congratulate everybody, right, and then go to his defence and say, right, by the way, let's not kid ourselves. That was far from perfect. Oh. That's what a proper manager does.
I don't think he's being overly harsh in saying that Liverpool may be a third favourite, just given how good City and Chelsea have been and saying that. I don't think there's an awful lot between those three. He's also right in saying that when things go well, when you have good days, that's the easiest time to address any right. perceived errors. So now is a good time to have those discussions when you recognise how good you can be or how much better things can get if you tighten up on those areas. But it's as we've all been seeing, and week in, week out, it's showing itself, it's going to be a very tight race between these three, and it's going to come down to a point or two, a goal or two, Cumbie.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch, isn't it? Meanwhile, the early game saw Arsenal beat Newcastle by 2-0. Arsenal's run continues against teams that they're expecting to beat. That's what they're getting going, certainly at the moment. Martinelli and Saka getting the 2 goals in this one, Don.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a massive penalty call in the first half at 0-0, and it went against Newcastle. Ødegaard rugby tackled Fabian Scher for a corner in the first half, and it was a stonewall penalty. I worked with Alan Shearer and Ian Wright today. They both said exactly the same thing, penalty. And when you're down at the bottom, Dan,
what difference does that make?
Playing Arsenal. Well, it was 0-0.
What difference does Alan Shearer and Ian Wright saying it's a penalty? Why do we need that in our lives?
Well, because I'd like to think you respect their opinion. I certainly do, and I know the game.
I respect your opinion. I don't need them to back you up, Don. Stand on your own. Well, you say it's a penalty. I don't care about Aaron Sheridan.
I am standing on my own. It's a penalty all day long, and all I'm saying is they both concurred that it was a definite penalty. I mean, look, he gets rugby tackled.
All Don is saying,
those are the sort of decisions you need. 0-0 when you're away from home, you need the referee and you need VAR to spot that, and Newcastle didn't get a break. And then you're watching the game unfold and you go, he'll deliver a team talk at half-time, Mikel Arteta, because Arsenal were very average for 45. They come out in the second half, he made one or two substitutions. In the end, it could have been three or four. They deserved it, but that's the type of break you need if you're Eddie Howe.
All Don is saying that ex-Arsenal and ex-Newcastle both agreed. Stop being such a cynic,
yes.
Dan. Stop being
yes,
such
Shaq.
A cynic.
Thank you, Shaq.
You're welcome, Don.
Arsenal, as Don said, turn it on, though, in the second half, Shaq.
They did. Listen, you saw the best... again, you're talking about a team bottom of the table. Seeing that, I thought some of Newcastle's football, particularly early on, was pretty good. And while, yes, you celebrate what you're seeing from Arsenal, you celebrate this run that they're on last week apart, and them closing the gap on the top four, Ramsdale again was outstanding. Ramsdale produced a couple of saves to keep them in it at 0-0. So while Arsenal have been good, they have been very reliant on the good form of Ramsdale continuing. Good enough to finish top four, but still you see the big distance between them and the three that we were just discussing.
What?
Thoughts on this tie?
Arsenal deserved to win the game, but it was far from impressive. And they were far from turning it on in the second half. Well, they turned it on, yeah, right.
Right.
I mean, Newcastle,
I thought they were good,
Newcastle
Steve.
Are awful.
See, no, that's
I'm sorry. Newcastle are awful. And yet again, you brought it up. Ramsdale's made a couple of fantastic saves again. So let's not get carried away.
The truth is,
they were okay. Arsenal were okay.
Nasty.
Newcastle are horrible.
True.
So let's kill the Jets a little.
No,
bit.
The thing is, compared to the top three, yes, okay. I understand your position. Cool your Jets. Let's not get too carried away. But compared to everybody else in the league, this was as good as anybody else outside of the top three.
Right.
And despite how good Ramsdale has been, despite Newcastle's position, this was as good a performance as you'll see from, 17 clubs in the league.
For a lot more Premier League content, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and check it out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Barcelona recorded their first away victory with Xavi in charge on Saturday, defeating Villarreal by 3-1. It would be Barca who would open the scoring in the second half. De Jong's goal initially ruled out for offside. VAR would take a look. Memphis Depay was on in the build-up, so it stood. However, Villarreal could get a late equaliser. Chiquiza with a goal to make it 1-1. But two late strikes. Memphis making the most of mistakes from Villarreal at the back. And then Coutinho coming on, winning and converting a penalty, would give Barcelona all 3 points. Take a look at where that puts them in the table. Still sitting seventh, currently 3 points off a top four place. Stevie, if you didn't see this game, you thought, Barca win 3-1. The Xavi effect now very much in effect.
I wouldn't go that far. Like most teams, when they get a new manager, there is a bit of a bounce.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's what it is. I wouldn't call it the Xavi effect just yet. Certainly the teams that he's putting out I don't think anybody else would. He's basically just going with the youngsters, which in my opinion is not a bad idea.
Yeah, Abde was given his debut today, 19 years of age. What's the thinking there, say, as opposed to a more experienced, say, Coutinho?
You know, there's one thing that young players don't have, and that's baggage.
OK.
And considering what's been going on over the last 12 months at Barcelona, certainly the more experienced guys are carrying a lot of baggage around with them. Whether it's personal baggage, whether it's not performing during games, whether it's the crowd getting on them. You know, when you play a lot of young guys, you get energy, you get enthusiasm, and that transfers onto the crowd as well. So this is certainly... Xavi's doing it his way, no question. I'm not quite ready to call it the Xavi effect just yet.
Memphis Depay obviously had a big opportunity in the first half that he missed, but then was brilliant in that second goal for him because he had so much time to think about it.
Yeah, it was, and very well taken indeed. Listen, the one thing Memphis Depay has never lacked is confidence. As a matter of fact, I think that's kind of hampered some of his own progress, especially early on. I'm thinking back to United days in particular. And it showed, because Barcelona need him. Right now, in the absence of real star power, Memphis Depay is the player who's stepped up and led from the front.
Right.
And there is a lot for Barcelona to do to rediscover those glory days. There's a lot to kind of that needs to be done to appease the fans. And I think Xavi's doing that, not just because of what he means to that fan base, but also by promoting players from within the academy. I think as much as you see Coutinho, who's not given an awful lot to really go on, and maybe he has experience and over some of the younger players, from an academy standpoint, seeing players like Abde introduced on the back of Gavi and the others who've come through gives real impetus to Barcelona's youth setup, which they will have to lean on very heavily in the years coming forward. Barcelona are in a real hole financially. We'll have to lean on them either to perform or to move on in terms of kind of getting money back in to balance their own books.
Unai Emery was furious after the game. He felt that his team should have had a penalty early on in the first half. We saw Gerard Piqué come across, didn't he, sliding?
Yep.
And he did block it with his hand, clearly hit his hand.
Yep.
But I know you think the referee made the right decision.
The referee made the right decision because of the way the rules are today. Certainly in my day, in Xhaka's day, that would have been a penalty kick all day long.
Because the argument is that it's what, in a natural position? And
yes.
This is me sliding.
Yeah, basically if your arm's away from your body.
Right.
And it hits your arms, apparently. But if your arm's tucked in with your body.
Wait, was it really tucked in? Away from
your body or above your shoulder. And I think it was tucked in. I think it was tucked in enough for the referee to... I'm with Stevie on this one. I thought he got that decision right.
And he did get away with that. And the one thing about him playing the young guys, actually, that's not Xavi's biggest problem, looking after the young guys. His biggest problem is getting a back four behind the young guys.
Right.
Because they are atrocious.
Yeah.
He even went so far today as to play Eric Garcia at right back, which was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
And Abde, I've got to give... loads of props to Abde, you know, making his debut, and he's got Eric Garcia behind him, who half the time wasn't behind him.
No, he's got no overlapping runs. He's got no options.
He had nothing. So, yeah, I think his biggest problem, Xavi, is sorting out the back line.
Right.
Because if he can get them tight, then it takes the pressure off the young guys going forward. Because they're lacking experience in the final third.
Yes.
You know, without Depay, you wonder where the goals are coming from.
Yeah.
And it's just lack of experience. So... Xavi's got to win games while he's doing all this at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's not easy, but I think his biggest problem is that back line.
Speaking of penalties, I think Villarreal did have a clean to penalty. Was it Garcia from the set piece,
yes,
the far post?
Yeah. Yes.
That, for me, was a stonewall penalty. How that was missed, I can understand and make an excuse for the referee missing it, but I can't for VAR.
You look at it overall, though, I suppose you're going to spin this positively. Xavi's come in, they've won two, drawn one. They haven't really played that well yet.
Mm. Yeah, that's a very positive spin.
Well, if I'm winning games and I'm not playing well, then surely the bar, as Shaka would say. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Again, I'll go back to what I said right at the very start. It's a new manager kind of bounce.
Right.
If they win the next two and draw one, then I'll start believing that really is to do with Shaka.
But they can only play better, can't they?
How long have we been saying this?
Just because it's only been here for three matches.
But, I'm just saying that this team has been like this for what? 12, 18 months?
First time they've won back-to-back games in La Liga. Aye. They've done so without pulling up any trees.
Oh, okay, it's a positive step. It's a step in the right direction.
Again.
I'm just not ready to see it. I'm just not ready to turn and go, oh, turn the corner. Or...
I didn't say he turned a corner. I'm just saying it's a positive spin on it.
I think a lot of Barcelona's football has been good, but dearly missing a goal scorer.
Right. We'll be hearing from De Jong in a moment. But first, Gemma Soler caught up with the Barca coach, Xavi.
We're here with Xavi after this amazing win. Congratulations. How did you leave it?
Thank you so much. It's an amazing win for us because it was a really difficult game, really complicated. We are talking about a Champions League team, Villarreal, top team. And it was really difficult to play well today because they press high tactically, physically. And they are a top team, so... It's an amazing 3 points for us, incredible. And at the end, sometimes you have to have luck, and we had today. So welcome this luck and welcome the attitude and the sacrifice of the players. So I'm very happy for the 3 points.
It's the first time in La Liga that you managed to have 2 wins in a row, but you suffered so much, especially with that high pressure. What does the team need to hold these results?
Yeah, we tried to release this high pressure. We couldn't because they did really well. We tried different solutions, even in the halftime. We tried another solution, but we couldn't because we had today a big opponent in front. So really difficult. So it means that these 3 points are really, really amazing.
Now it's up there. We have seen Ilias, Demir in the starting 11. Does these youngsters give a new energy, good energy to your team?
Yes, a new blood. So we have a very good youth generation, and they are playing so well with personality, with 17, 18, 19 years old. So I'm very happy for that also.
Congratulations on the victory and on that first goal. How did you leave it?
Thanks. Yeah, I was really happy with the goal. We had to wait a long time on the VAR, but at the end he gave the goal. It's a bit like my first goal last year against Sociedad, which was the same situation. So, but happy.
You did a good job, but both in both halves you lose at some point. What's happening to the team?
Yeah, I think Villarreal, they pressed really good. And we didn't have the solution to come out of their to get out of their press, so it was difficult for us. But we have to improve this for sure because normally it has to be a strength of us.
It's the first time you have 2 wins in a row in La Liga. Can we start talking about a Xavi effect? Does the locker room feel that Xavi effect?
No, there's a good energy in the team, but we always have tried to give our best, and I think we have played some good games this season, but sometimes we didn't. We were not lucky, but today we didn't play really good, but we were a bit lucky today.
We see new youngsters every day, Ilias, Abde, Demir. Does they give you like good energy?
I think we have a lot of really good talents with a great future ahead. And some of them are already really good players now, and they can only grow, so we are happy to have them.
Thank you, Frankie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like Gemma speaking to De Jong like he's the old man of the team, yeah, isn't he, considering these youngsters coming through. But it seems to be very much where Xavi is putting his eggs at the moment.
Yeah, and for a number of reasons. One, Barcelona don't have money to spend on players. They know that. I also think that part of Xavi's remit is to give the Barcelona fans something to be excited about, not just on the short term in terms of results, but something that they can really look forward to. And bringing through these youth players, given Barcelona's own history in that regard, you understand why he continues to do that. He continues to look for opportunities to introduce players into the first team. Either they serve well for the long term or they generate funds by terms of transfer fees, which Barcelona desperately need in an effort to get out of this financial hole that they found themselves in.
Gemma with us now. Gemma, it's interesting. Obviously, you follow Barcelona a lot so far this season. Is there a different feel, different taste within this team now that Xavi has taken over?
Hi, Dan. Yeah, definitely. I think now we can start talking about the Xavi effect. We'll see how long it is because he's having so much trouble with injuries and with other problems. These young players sometimes make mistakes. They have the age to be making mistakes. We have seen that, especially defensively. But I think there is another atmosphere in this locker room. We have seen that when they celebrate the goals, it looks like they don't give up on the games. I think that's the big change with when Koeman was on charge. At some point, they didn't trust the team anymore, and I think they are believing now. We could see that they have been lucky in this game, we can say that. And Villarreal players, they were kind of upset with the referee, with everything, but they never stopped believing, and I think that's the different thing that Xavi, he knows a lot this team, he knows a lot La Masia, he knows a lot of the players, and he knows, he has a lot of respect with between the youngsters, and that's the thing, that the Xavi effect, that's taking them to the first two wins in a row in La Liga.
Gemma Soler, thank you very much. Much appreciated as always. Barcelona then with their first away win under Xavi, beating Villarreal by 3-1 earlier here today live on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, in the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund marking the return of Erling Haaland, who'd come off the bench and score their third in a big 3-1 victory over Wolfsburg. Let's welcome in, shall we, Jan Olga Fjortoff to the show. Jan, you're at this game where, once again, Haaland steals all the headlines, I suppose.
Yes, he did, and it's been quite an interesting week for Dortmund because they had a terrible game in the Champions League, got himself knocked out of Champions League. What did Marco Rose do in the first press conference after the Champions League? Suddenly, out of nowhere, for not the insider, he said, maybe Erling Haaland will play. So all the headlines after this game was nothing to do with the failure of Dortmund. It was about Haaland coming back. And did he come back? He came in and he just did what he knows best, scored a spectacular goal. And I agree with you, with Xhaka, that is a spectacular goal, how he's using his body. We've heard lately that he has responded very well to the treatment and he's back. And it was quite interesting because all over Germany was always shame on you, Dortmund, and so on and so on. And then Erling Haaland comes on, and I interviewed Marco Rose after the game, and he told me that the first thing Erling Haaland told him after the game was that he said, listen, coach, if you would have given me some more minutes, I would have scored two. And I just, that just sums up Erling Haaland.
Yeah, normally you tweet quite a lot of nonsense. However, the video that you put out was spectacular of Haaland's celebration, the reaction to it in the crowd. We can't show it because it's naughty. Is this woman who did that, is she well known? She's going to be famous now, surely.
Even Erling Haaland tweeted that, and he said that the cameraman got to be man of the match or woman of the match. And it was quite interesting because, of course, Bundesliga, who is a good commercial product or concept of Germany, they have tweeted that as well. And I notice now they have put a smiley face over her face because I think that she's going to be well known all over the world. What is actually is happening, he's going in and he's pointing at the fans. And she's pointing back, let's put it this way, she's pointing back with another finger. Wow, fantastic. It was a fantastic interaction between a football player and a football fan of Wolfsburg.
Elsewhere, Bayern Munich 1, Bielefeld 0. Leroy Sané's goal proving to be the difference between the two sides. Jan, it's been a tough old week, hasn't it, for Bayern? I suppose it was nice for them to be able to do their talking on the pitch over the 90 minutes as they return to the top of the table.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable week for them because it's been all about COVID and players not taking it. Joshua Kimmich being the symbol of the ones who won't take the vaccine. What happened? Well, he got COVID, so he's out. But it's also, they have had a big like union meeting. As you understand, in Germany, the club is owned by members and they were president out, Oliver Kahn out. It was a terrible week for them. But Bayern Munich, at the end of the day, did what they know best. They're winning football games. I watched this game, and they should have won a lot more. Leroy Sané was very good. Ortega, the goalkeeper of Bielefeld, was man of the match. He had great saves. At the end of the day, they won 1-0, one-point lead before their Klassiker next Spieltag, next round. Dortmund against Bayern Munich, what a game that's going to be. This is the chance of Dortmund. Although they are conceding silly goals, they're still just 1 point away from Bayern Munich, so that's going to be a very, very interesting game.
Is Nagelsmann getting a bit of a song out of Leroy Sané, Jan?
It seems like he has. I mean, there's a lot of talking about him being this and that, and you saw after that fantastic goal, he doesn't even smile. But I follow the career of Leroy Sané. He's a fantastic football player, and he had a big problem at the beginning of the season with Julian Nagelsmann and also Hansi Flick, who are good at man management. They have sorted him out, and now he's a fantastic player for Bayern Munich. You can only ask yourself, why did Manchester City let him go, or why did he want to go from Manchester City? He's one of the key players now at this Bayern Munich team.
Obviously, there is so much hope that there is going to be a proper title race, and it just shows how significant next week's game is, Jan, isn't it? The feeling is it kind of do or die from a Dortmund perspective?
Absolutely, and I spoke to the players after the game. I spoke to Erling Haaland. Erling Haaland said, well, this gives us at least a good position going into that game. Imagine that there being so many points after, they could have ended up 7. You always get a feeling when you kind of build up this Der Klassiker in Germany, somehow Bayern Munich will win 1-0 with some deflected shot from Goretzka or something. But I think this time Dortmund are conceding goals, but they've got a good habit of winning home games. Marco Rosa has put up a record of 7th win in a row at home, never been done in the history of Dortmund. And hopefully for neutral fans that they can make 8 and will have a proper title race in Germany. Oh, God, do we need that?
Be sure to join us tomorrow. A couple of big games for us to reflect on. Chelsea against Manchester United, plus Sevilla take on Real Madrid. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, in Italy, the big result today has got to be Atalanta going to Turin and beating Juventus by 1-0. Zapata's goal in the 28th minute proving to be the difference between the two sides. It wasn't particularly pretty to watch, but Atalanta won't care as they take the victory. And let's just take a look at what that means in the table. Juventus down in 8th. Atalanta, meanwhile, 4th. We'll speak about Inter in a moment, but let's kick off, shall we, with that win for Atalanta as Don returns with us. Don, what a horrible few days for Max Allegri and Juventus.
They're going through it, Dan. They really are. I mean, they've lost against Sassuolo, Empoli, Verona. They're not playing well. He's struggling to try and get his best team on the pitch. They look a little bit flaky, in my opinion. They look a little bit... When you watch them, they're quite one-paced. You look at the team, apart from Chiesa, who went off injured. Morata was a little bit lightweight. Dybala's sort of struggling to get back to the form he was in 4 or 5 years ago. There's a lack of legs in midfield with Rabiot. And I had a conversation with the commentator, and we talked Manuel Locatelli, and I'm a massive Locatelli fan. And in my opinion, Max Allegri's playing him as a sort of Pirlo type player. And the guy I was having an argument debate with, who follows Italian football for fun, he thinks he can play that Pirlo role where he's a bit deep and he's spraying passes. And I watched Locatelli, like I watched him in the Euros, and I'm thinking he's like a Frank Lampard. You know, you can get people like Rabiot and Weston McKennie and Bernardeschi. Those sort of players are 10 a penny. But when you get a Locatelli and a man that scores goals from midfield, I find it unbelievably bizarre, in my humble opinion, that Locatelli's playing
40, 50, 60 yards away from where I think he should be playing, because he scores goals, he gets assists, he runs from midfield, and he can help the front two. And I'm watching a Juve side at the minute, Dan, that are just struggling so badly.
Now, 7 points off a Champions League spot, Don.
Well, I mean, they've got it all on for that. I mean, you can write them off the title, they're 11 off that, and I've got them nowhere near, getting anywhere near. I mean, I've got Inter as favourites. They had a good win against Venezia tonight, but Milan and Napoli have shown the form at the start of the season where those two were flying and they were running away with it. And now Victor Osimhen, you know how much I love him. He's fractured a cheekbone for Napoli, so he's going to be missing for 2 to 3 months. So the title race is back on, and Atalanta have come from nowhere. Mm. They're back in it as well. So as it stands, it's a four-horse race.
But Juve aren't even in that race for a Champions League spot, you don't think?
I mean, listen, with Juve, they can stick a couple of results together, maybe. But the best they're going to get is fourth. They've got they're nowhere near Napoli, Milan and Inter. That's for sure. They might sneak in if Atalanta go deep into the Champions League, if they try and make it through the group stages. But in my opinion, I don't think they will, Dan.
Meanwhile, as you mentioned, Inter with a 2-0 victory over Venezia to close the gap on both Napoli and Milan, who are action later this week. Inter have just kind of got a little bit of swagger at the moment, don't they, Don?
They have. They're unbeaten in six. Dzeko just looks like he's 21 again. He's scoring goals and he looks fresh. Correa's a player. Lautaro Martinez is scoring goals. And this was the type of game, it was 1-0 for a long, long time. And they scored their second, I think, close to 90 minutes. It was one of these games where it wasn't a classic, but they got the job done. And Inter fans will probably remember the 3-2 win against Napoli and the draw against Juve and the draw against Milan, all good results. This is probably one of them results where they won't remember this one in a couple of weeks' time, a couple of months' time. It was get on the road, hard place to go and play your football, Venezia. It was teeming down the rain, horrible conditions, professional performance. You get the job done, you get back on a flight and you move back and then you just move on to the games that are coming up in the weeks to come.
Great stuff, Don. Don will be with us a little later on for extra time. Just a reminder for a lot more what happened in Italy and reflection on that. Be sure to join Gab and Jules, the latest edition of their podcast, which drops on Monday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Thanks to Jan and to Gemma. Don is back, though. Fear not. Shaka and Stevie here as well, as they'll be answering your questions here on Extra Time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka and Stevie alongside us. We also welcome Don as well. How are you, Don?
I'm all good, Dan. How are you?
I feel that's a new poster over your right shoulder. What's that?
Yeah, I've got no idea how it got there, Dan. It's the 100 best players in Britain. I've got no idea how it got there. It just sort of appeared.
What number are you on that list?
I don't know what number, because I can't quite see, but I know that I'm better than Alan Boksic and Dwight York and Davel Suka.
Wow.
Yeah, better than them all, apparently.
So you kept that poster for all those years?
Yeah, why not?
He did. And now his missus is trying to throw it out.
Do you know what I honestly thought, Dan? I honestly seen it and I went, I'm putting that on Extra Time because Dan's bound to pick me up on that.
Wow, yeah. Who's number one on the list?
Number one is Roy Keane, Thierry Henry second, Vieira, Beckham, Yap Stam.
Wow.
It's a good list.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where is your picture on that list? It's got to be near the bottom.
It's just on the right-hand side. I think about 48, just round the corner.
Which position will Arsenal finish at the end of the season? Which areas can Arsenal improve next season to be a consistent top four candidate again? Well, let's just go with the first one, shall we? What position are they going to finish, Don?
I think they will finish sixth.
Sixth? Who will finish above them? City?
I think Liverpool, well, obviously Chelsea. the top four as it is, and I think West Ham, and I think Man United.
Oh, sixth, higher or lower? Shaq and sixth, higher or lower?
Higher than that. Manchester United obviously don't know who the new manager coming in and what kind of turnaround that'll be. And for West Ham, I think the Ogbonna injury is huge for them and may cost them.
So you got Arsenal fourth?
They could be.
No.
What?
Well, of course they could be, but is that your prediction?
You just asked me whether I was higher than sixth, and I said yes.
Well, now I'm focusing more in on the question.
No, no, you have to talk to Stevie.
No, I don't have to say anything.
Stevie's ready. Go ahead, Stevie.
Shaka says fourth. What says you, Stevie?
No, I know. You know. Oh. You exactly. Oh. Yeah, nobody's listening to Dan.
You can. Oh, he could finish fourth. What's the point? Yeah. We might as well go over and finish saying stuff like that.
I'm going with Dawn. They'll be around six. I think there are two or three better teams than them.
Who?
Listen, if Leicester can get the players fit, Leicester are better than them.
There's five better teams than them, right?
Well, I'm just...
I had actually
forgotten about Man United, and I think Man United will finish above them as well.
Okay.
And I've already told you that West Ham will finish above them.
Okay.
So I think
I'm going fifth.
I think that puts them at seventh, does it?
You want them seventh? So
I'm going sixth or seventh.
So we've got fifth, sixth, seventh.
Fifth.
Fifth, sixth, seventh. Sorted. Stevie, Van Dijk is yet to lose at Anfield for Liverpool in the Premier League.
Wow.
Did you ever go through a period where you felt no one could beat you?
Aye.
I bet you did, yeah.
Aye.
On the darts.
Aye. It's such a great... Well, I'm going to say it's such a great feeling, but you don't actually... That's not what you're thinking about.
Right.
You're thinking about how many.
Really?
How many is it going to be today?
How many are you going to win by?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an... The only time... Ah, you don't think about it. It's not something you think about. You don't go, well, this is great. We're not going to lose. It's... How many are we going to win by today?
Shaq, when you had that run for Newcastle, is it
the first half of that 95-96 season, we felt we were unbeatable.
Right.
And it's great. And to Stevie's point, it's never a case of whether you're going to... Can we win this one? This one is going to be tough. It really is, you know, just how is this going to go?
Fantastic. Don, you've never really had that run in your life, have you?
I've never had that in my life, Dan. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah,
well, brilliant.
But you're on a poster.
You've
got that poster, too, you know.
There you go. See, Stevie's not on that, and Shaka's not on that.
Don, what percentage would you give United to beat Chelsea tomorrow?
30.
30% for Manchester United? To
I've
take
got
all
a Chelsea
three points.
Win all day long.
Well, that's... Well, then why 30%?
Because you can never say for sure, can you?
15%.
If I knew it was going to be a Chelsea win, I'd go and stick my whole mortgage on a Chelsea win. But you never know.
Didn't you say last year there was a 0% chance of Chelsea winning the Champions League?
No. That might have been Villarreal winning the Europa League.
30%, Don says.
That and way lower. That's because keep in mind, you're talking a Chelsea win and a draw.
Yeah.
So from United to win...
Thank you, Shaq, for breaking down.
No, I'm just saying, because Don didn't factor that in, I guarantee it.
Okay.
Don didn't factor that in when
30%. He went 50-50.
Yeah, he just, you know, Don's just kind of...
One or the other. You're saying 15.
I'm going 12.5%.
Wow, 12.5%.
Wow!
For United to get all 3 points.
Yes.
Ooh. 20.
Oh. Why?
Well... We've been saying how bad United have been for a long, long time now, right?
Yes, because
they've still somehow, in all that time, got some great results away from home. So when you've got players on your team like a Ronaldo that have got ability, and Fernandes hasn't been particularly brilliant, but he's got ability. You can't argue. You know, Rashford, maybe Sancho turns up for once. So they've got a chance of scoring. So that's why it's 20.
Stevie,
Stevie's made me think it's going to be lower.
Well, yes.
Oh, everybody thinks it's
everyone thinks it's going to be lower than Dawn.
Everybody in the whole planet.
Stevie, would you support Manchester United on Sunday since they then beating Chelsea will help Liverpool winning the Premier League?
I can answer that question right now.
Draw.
You won't. So you won't support them?
No.
What if Chelsea are winning 1-0?
Then I want United to score.
So you'll be supporting them in that period?
In that period.
Right.
Even that draw. Surprises me.
I'll support them for a draw.
Wow.
Even that surprises me, I'm not going to lie.
No.
I thought he'd go, no, we want United to lose. Chelsea lose next week.
Shaq. I found in life that being too greedy never works.
Okay.
Oh, what?
What? Tell us more about that, Stephen.
I've never lasted this long by overindulging myself. Any sort of department.
What a week it's been for Stevie Nicol.
Oh, wow. Hey, what about this? As a hammer, I enjoyed my match programs with Shaka, modelling sunglasses for the local opticians, looking like a Trinidadian Terminator.
Hold on, if you had sunglasses on, how do you know it's Shaka?
Does he still have such a glamorous endorsement deal? Also, what's the favourite kit he wore? Fila lime, green, yellow West Ham keepers for me. Well, let's start off with you. Shaka, how much did you get paid for that? The endorsement deal.
I don't think I got paid anything.
Just sunglasses for life?
I don't remember sunglasses at all.
Honestly.
I don't wear sunglasses. You know, I don't own a single pair of sunglasses.
Do you not, Shaka? That's true. I've never seen you in sunglasses. Why not?
I don't ever wear sunglasses.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm a child of the sun, Dan.
What, so just your corneas can take it?
Yes, that's right. I'm a Caribbean man, even down to my eyeballs.
Okay.
Isn't it amazing? Back in the day, somebody would go, hey, do us a favour. Stick this on when you're in the programme.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no problem.
Imagine today we're going, how much?
Well, exactly.
Seriously.
Yeah. All like, we're stupid. We go, I don't want
to. Take a couple of photos of this alphabet. And you'd be like, no problem.
And what is your favourite? Do you have any endorsements now, Shank?
No, Daniel.
No, but you open your DMs, yes, open it on your Insta.
I'm available for endorsements.
Yes.
Even sunglasses. Even sunglasses.
And your favourite West Ham kit? Does the feeder line green, yellow one ring a bell?
Were you pony the first when I first signed for?
I don't know, Shank. You were there.
Yeah, pony. I love that. I love the old pony.
Yes?
Yeah. I'm going to go pony.
Yeah. What endorsement deals did you have back in the day, Don? Any opticians?
No, I had a brilliant one when I was at Sunderland, Dan. I was sponsored by Fila, and the Fila offices were in a place called Washington, just outside of Sunderland, and I got no money whatsoever, but I was allowed to go to Fila once a month with a shopping trolley and just stack the shopping trolley full of Fila gear.
Oh, nice.
So I was going old school, like tennis, vintage stuff, vintage trainers.
And then did you give all those clothing to charity and the homeless, yeah?
Of course I did.
Good. That was a very high-pitched course.
Yeah. Of course I did.
Where's that many ESPN I've seen now?
Yes.
I'm in handy.
Give some out for press. There you go. What is the worst prank that you've had, that you have pulled off, Don?
Do you know... It's a great question, that, because I've done one and the lads know what it's like inside the dress rooms. It can be an absolutely brutal place. And Everton were playing at home. I can't remember who were playing. And I always used to take my tickets down to reception. I always used to say to the lady, like, who's coming to watch tonight? So she'd go, oh, Kevin Keegan's coming to watch tonight, or Craig Brown's coming to watch, or Sir Alex Ferguson's coming to watch. Because it just gave me that little bit of adrenaline where I go, yeah, like, get up for this game. And I asked the lady who was coming, and she said, Kevin Keegan, the England manager, is coming to watch Franny Jeffers. Now, Franny Jeffers was a real good mate of mine and another prankster inside the dressing room. So I decided before the game to deep heat his underpants. And I put so much deep heat inside of his underpants, he was like bang in trouble. And the lads will tell you, Dan, the worst thing you can do with deep heat inside your underpants is then try and go for a shower because you think it cools you down. Somehow it makes it worse. He had the worst game of his life in front of Kevin Keegan, the then England manager, and he was livid.
I'm just going back to the point where you go, me and Franny Jeffers were really good friends.
I just
ruined his England career.
I just ruined his career.
got us a little bit closer. We giggled afterwards. It got us closer.
Franny was more than capable of ruining his own England career.
I know. Don gave him some feeler gear, so he was all right.
That makes you feel better, Don.
Goodness me.
Got some feeler gear and he was okay.
He did get me back many years later, Millennium. When there was no games on New Year's Day that year, we went out for a party, me, my wife at the time, Franny and his wife at the time.
Oh.
And we partied in Liverpool with a band called Cast, who were a really sort of famous band back in the day. And
who?
Franny got into a little altercation on the street with a Liverpool fan. He got locked up. I ran away with my missus and got away with it. And then he done a story in the Liverpool Echo the next day, fabricated some story saying I was saving Don Hutchison and his wife. They were both in trouble. If it wasn't for me, they'd have got a bit of a beating. This was on the front and the back pages of the Liverpool Echo. So he got me back.
Goodness me, what a relationship you two have.
Best of mates.
Y'all are really good friends.
We did that once at the Doncaster, the end of my career, with a guy, a Scottish guy called Colin. He was a right nutter. I can't remember his second name.
Burley.
But he was a Rangers fan. And we were in the hotel and something to eat before the game. And we told him that there was a Rangers scout here to,
right,
to watch him. And that there was this guy over in the corner. I'm not kidding. From then. And then, of course, we forgot to tell him before the game started that we were only kidding. And he was awful.
Oh no.
He was awful. He was absolutely shaking in his boots.
Right.
Because this guy was here watching him.
Oh no. It all seems very detrimental stories to your team's success.
We should have done. Just put Deepit in his underpants. That helps.
That'd be beautiful. Yeah. Final question, Don. What sport would Dan Thomas be good at? Oh, so
easy.
They haven't invented it yet.
So many good sports that would be great at.
I see you, Dan. I see you as sort of like quick. Like a nippy one.
Yes, very quick.
So,
yeah. Usain Bolt.
What?
Not Dan, that quick.
Let's be honest. Dan's a jockey all day long.
Yeah.
Dan's a jockey. Come on.
Yeah. I'm too tall. Look at that.
You're too tall for what?
He
five foot ten.
My niece is a jockey, and he's too tall to be a jockey.
Stevie, what do you think I'd be good at? What sport are we talking?
45 pounds. I can't think of one. Whip.
I really can't think of one. I can't imagine you with a bat or a racket or anything in your hand.
Right.
I can't. Nothing to do with any sort of football or rugby ball.
Or movement. Nothing with any kind of movement.
No, nothing with any sort of rhythm.
It's limited.
Is there any sport where you can just stand around and be short?
It would have to be one of those sports that people argue whether it's a sport or not, like tiddlywinks, for
bowls.
Example.
Okay.
What about bowls?
Uno, I'm good at.
Bowls.
Good at
he wouldn't be able to lift the bowls. Look at him.
What about the old, one in ice?
Curling.
Yeah,
curling.
You'd make a good rock.
It's cold.
No.
That rock's a bit heavy.
You'd make the good. You'd make a good rock. We could slide you along the ice. That'd be good.
Okay, that is it. We are done. Thank you very much.
Hold on. I've got somebody in here going, poker. Poker's not a sport.
I like playing poker, yeah.
Poker's not a sport.
Well, ESPN show it, so it must be a sport.
Doesn't mean it's a sport.
Of course it is. Anyway.
ESPN shows a lot of things.
Well, there we go.
Doesn't mean they're all sports.
Well, I think it's a sport. There we go, that is it.
Well, 60 for 60, is that a sport?
ESPN.
Or is it a TV show?
60. Hey, ESPN FC, we'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us. Till then, goodbye.